June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Every afternoon at 3:20, we take a look at all the Cowboys news that's going viral on Cowboys social and in the headlines. And we have that coming up here for you in 20 minutes. And then, of course, Krusty's Corner at 3:40, where our former scout Brian Broaddus takes you through all the news and his insights into his world of football and elsewhere. You know, sometimes baseball, sometimes NBA. And of course the Chris Young show is coming up at 4:20. So we look forward to talking with CY, the Rangers president of baseball operations, coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes. As guys, they are back to 500, and that is now the lead story in DFW sports. White Sox, incredible story. Kamar Rocker getting called back up yesterday after struggling a lot. It's Father's Day. His dad was there and he was amazing. You know, to give you faith and confidence right as Mally's hurt that maybe this team is going to have the perfect amount of pitching depth to roll with whatever's there. But, I mean, the question I have for you at 877-881-1053, please leave your name and city you're texting from on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Are you sold? Have you seen enough to believe here in this baseball team?
Definitely believing. Absolutely. I mean, what Cole Wynn's been able to do, he's just allowed a single run, or he has not allowed any runs in the 9 games, 11 and two-third innings that he's pitched, and that's a guy that a couple of years ago, man, he was supposed to be one of the up-and-coming starters in this organization. He's got to make the move to the pen. To be able to win 2 out of 3, and I get it, like the White Sox are not a good baseball team. They're playing much harder this year under Will Venables than they were a year ago when they were one of the historically worst teams in sports, but yeah, I'm believing. I mean, the pitching's been there all year. Their ability now to navigate not having Evo, hopefully he's coming back later this week. Mally's on the IL. They haven't had Gray or Bradford. Sean Armstrong's out there pitching perfect 3 innings. Like, it's just incredible, really, what they've been able to do. And if the bats that can continue, I mean, Ezekiel Duran was your best offensive player yesterday. That's not something I think was on anybody's bingo card. This thing's trending in a great direction. They're a game out of the wild card. They're 5.5 back. Houston started to get pretty damn hot here, which is unfortunate. But, yeah, I'm believing for sure.
It's amazing how long you can stay cold in baseball, and I think the Rangers were that. And now things are starting to go their way in a lot of ways. And that's got to be exciting for CY. I know when they lose, he wears it. And when they win, he's always just a little bit apprehensive to say, hey, this means this. He always wants to see more. But, I mean, we asked him last week, and he said he wanted to see it for longer. Now it's another week. You've won 6 of 7 since we last talked to him. Chief, are you willing to believe, like, right now you're looking at a 31% chance of making the playoffs mathematically, teams in this situation after 70 games or whatever they've played? Are you taking the over or under on that?
I would go ahead and take the over. I feel pretty good about it. We'll hope that the Astros slow things down a little bit, but you're still right there in the thick of it with the division. The schedule's getting nice and light on you at the right time here leading into All-Star break. And, I mean, they had games where they just couldn't get anybody on base. And even when they weren't scoring any runs and they were getting nobody on base. And at this point, hey, even in games where they're not putting up a zillion runs, you had a ton of opportunities. So yeah. I think that ends up that'll end up evening out. The risk over the weekend was not great. They left a ton of dudes stranded, but that just is saying, like, hey, you're getting those opportunities and those will start to fall. Love seeing what Adolis Garcia has been able to do since he got his little breaky break, and he's been back to being pretty dang fantastic. So yeah, I'm feeling great right now.
Yeah, still need a closer, says the 214, and a bat. He suggests a Mason Miller. Is that still possible?
I don't think Oakland would be giving you Mason Miller. I think you're going to have to give up quite a bit if you want to go get that guy.
Could you do Walcott plus? Is that what it would take?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I'm sure Wolcott would get it done for a Mason Miller. I don't think you're wanting to give up on Sebastian Wolcott.
Believe, says the 903, going to get on a roll and ride it all the way until Bochy is holding that trophy up again. Mm. And appreciate your feedback there. I think that's Aaron in Buffalo.
And we got the news about, like, we know that Bochy's on the last year of his deal here. Mm-hmm. And the reports from The Athletic, Jim Bowden, about the idea that the whispers are this could very well be Bochy's last year. I think that's something that actually bodes well for just something to rally around a little bit. Like, hey, we're doing it for the skipper here one last time. I think that's actually something that injects some fuel into your team.
I don't know how, like, outspoken he's really been about that. He certainly has not said anything about it, but I think that's something maybe we asked CY about at 420. Like, has he even talked about Boch's future with him? Because I don't know. I mean, is that something that he's just kind of going to keep close to the vest and he's just going to play it by ear? And if he feels like he wants to come back, depending on how the season goes. But yeah, I mean, that was an interesting report. Him and Brian Snitker of the Braves, they're both expected to retire at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that stings. You know, I think Boch gives you a tremendous advantage, but the Rangers are well positioned, you know, to have, you know, Shoemaker or somebody else step in. But yeah, that would hurt. I think it would make a lot of sense if you can put this thing together, though, and you do end up winning the championship for Boch to go out on a top like that, especially because if he wants to try to win another one, he'd have to wait till 2027, you know, so
every other year.
Yeah. If the every other year thing does hit for him, I don't know of a better storybook way to end it and walk away. Although I think he's tried to do that before and the game just pulled him back in. You know, I wouldn't want to end it until the sport was like, go, you know, because everybody still loves him. We all love covering him. The players love playing for him. You know, I think at some point, like, guys think, like, I'm old. I got to go and let somebody else do it. You don't have to go.
You get tired.
You do get tired. Yeah.
You get tired. I mean, the road trips get tired and, you know, they're staying in nice places and he's flying okay. But, man, you just get wore down.
And he has seemed a little beat down.
A lot of late nights, you know, going, you know, get on a bus and get off, you know, get off the bus at 2 a.m, go to your hotel room, get up at 9, have to, you know, do it all over again. I mean, it's part of it gets a little tiring for the guy, probably.
Story goes in the morning news. Rangers have to choose between present needs and long-term development with Kamar Rocker. I think it's clear that the way they're working the plan is great. Let's have him in the minors when we're healthy. We can keep the innings down there. It doesn't have a lot of pressure, and he can continue to fine-tune. We know that in 2024, at the end of the summer, he was dialed, okay? So let's just try to recreate that, limit the innings. But when there is a need at the big league level, boom, we can plug him in there and see how well he does. And if he continues pitching like that, we're leaving him up here for one role or another. So I think this is going perfect, and it was outstanding here as we start to get to the midway point to maybe get the confirmation that he's starting to figure it out again.
Yeah, I mean, I was really impressed with the way that he pitched yesterday. I mean, he worked out of some high leverage spots, the variety of pitches that he was able. I mean, I'm sure confidence-wise, I don't know where he was going into that start. Now, the pickle juice might have just saved everything. I mean, you're chugging 3 different bottles of pickle juice, you're cramping on the mound, you're finding every way to get through this, but I was very impressed with Kamar Rocker, and I think you're absolutely right. If you need him, let's say we're trying to stretch some guys out, give him a little bit of a breather, that's an awesome insurance policy to have, to be able to have him come up here and pitch, and then otherwise, if everything's just status quo, go ahead and keep developing in the minors, man.
Yeah, 214 says, bring me Wash when Boch signs off. That's Sarah in Rockwall. Mm. That would be something, Sarah. I don't know if that's possible. I guess he's still with the Angels, but that could be running its course, as, you know, multiple losing seasons in a row typically means the end for a manager. That would be epic if they could bring Wash back. Ipe Mizuhara, the disgraced former interpreter for Dodger superstar Shohei Ohtani in federal prison in Pennsylvania. Spokesperson for the Federal Bureau of Prisons telling ESPN Today, the 40-year-old ordered to surrender to federal authorities. He's in custody at Allenwood Low, a low-security facility, after being sentenced to 57 months in prison for stealing nearly $17 million from Ohtani. Mizuhara was initially ordered to report to prison in March, but a federal judge granted the delay. So he's in there now, and what is that, about 5 years? 57 months, just 3 months short of 5 years for stealing $17 million.
I know prison's bad, but that's not the bad prison, right?
No, that's you're looking at a low security facility. As long as you stay out of trouble,
so he can help the others with gambling.
He's
going
to learn how to do it better. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He's going to figure it out with other gamblers in there.
See, what you should have done is, and then, you know, I don't know that this story is so interesting. If this is just what it is on the surface, then great. If not, like, how much money would it take for you to go do a sentence like this for your buddy who was like, hey, I can't be disgraced.
$17 million, right? Or whatever
it was. I'm gonna make $1 billion. But yeah, what if the 17 wasn't his doing, you know, and he's taking the fall for Shohei?
How long is he doing?
57 months.
Maybe good behavior. Does he get out in 3 years, right? Something like that?
It depends. I don't know how that works.
That's probably $10 million a year, if you ask me.
$10 million a year? That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
$10 million a year is crazy.
I think that was a lot. $10 million, yeah.
Think about what that does to Ohtani's entire.
I mean, it saves him. You're right.
I am doing you the solid here. Your entire reputation, everything. Yeah. Now you become the all time synonymous.
And ten is nothing to you, but I just feel crazy asking for that. I would have went up like five, maybe two. 2.5. Yeah. After no taxes touching or nothing like that. This is what I want.
Direct deposit.
Yeah. Just give me the bank card, bro.
Yes, Swiss bank account.
Yeah. 5-year, $25 million contract you signed to go to prison.
But you'd have to get that up front, right? You're not going to do the 5 years and think Ohtani's,
that's sitting in the account already.
You've got that account. The time you were supposed to be in March, you now kind of, that's where you've organized all this.
And anytime I want to pick up the phone, I need another pack of smokes, whatever it is I need in there, you're getting it to me first class. Yeah. Expedited.
The Spurs are.
How much would you do it for, Dawson? I know you thought about it.
Okay, so the whole 5.5 years or whatever he's going to do, the whole four years and 9 months, probably $20 million. Yeah, probably
I'm not going to the bad prison area. If I could go to the prison with the other dudes I don't want to go to the bad prison.
We're not going to have to do violence.
There's no amount of money that I would do that for.
I mean, there might be some creepy dudes in there, but you could probably kick their ass, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, you're dealing with some real lowlifes, and that would suck, but you don't have to worry that they're also violent criminals capable
of choking. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be like,
tax offenders and stuff like that.
Yeah. So,
like, the situation in there.
But I think you would have to look at it like the generational opportunity to help my family. Now, your kids aren't going to be able to see you but once a month on visitation if mom brings them, but that's got to be part of the deal, you know? So we're gonna get in there, we're going to sit this out, and when we come out, nobody's ever going to work again.
Shoot, you might lose mom 5 years, bro.
You might.
You might lose mom.
But you got to tell her you got the money, right?
Yeah, she gets no cut if I lose her.
She gets no money. If you walk, you get nothing.
She's going to go for it while you're in jail, for sure.
Just don't let me know, you know?
She's going to go for that money, though.
She's going to try to get the money.
And if you don't give her that money, she's going to snitch on your whole situation.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to have to get this ironclad with NDAs. we're gonna need Jones Boys level attorneys here.
We're talking about $20 million, bro. People go crazy.
A lot of money.
Cam McCormick, a former college football player, has been hired by the New England Patriots as a scouting assistant after going undrafted and unsigned. His unique career path included being granted a 9th year of eligibility by the NCAA. Hmm. The coaches must love this guy. He had a normal red shirt.
Tight end.
He had a COVID pandemic. He had 3 exemptions for medical hardship, suffered multiple injuries during his career, including a devastating leg injury. He persevered and earned a bachelor's degree in journalism. That's not hard. And a master's degree in advertising and brand responsibility. That might be harder from Oregon before transferring to Miami. His journey from player to scouting assistant showcases his resilience and determination in the face of adversity.
How about that? Well, it's also all about who you know, because Miami alum Alonzo Highsmith is there in the Patriots organization, so he's probably doing his guy solid there a little bit.
Yeah, I think that
Elliot Wolf helping him out there too.
That goes to being a great team guy.
Elliot's a Miami grad.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Elliot went to school at Miami.
Fellow Canes.
The Dallas Wings going to host Golden State tomorrow. I think they're about to turn it around, probably, maybe.
They got the Warden.
Sound really confident, though.
Well, they keep losing, right? And I think what happened is Paige Becker, she was out. She had that concussion. She came back, and she's like, I see what we got to do now. Y'all need to score. Okay, I was trying to be the rookie and, like, taking the open shot. But since she came back, she's shooting, like, 20 times a game compared to 13 before she left. So I don't know if they're going to start winning, but at least Paige Becker apparently has the green light. So that should make the game little bit interesting. Man, Caitlin Clark did some crazy stuff last night, how she's hunting threes. She really hit her zone where now she's in attack mode and she's kind of fearless. And that was tremendous sports TV to take in.
They won, right? Didn't they win the game last night?
Yeah, it was the Liberty's first loss.
Yeah, 9-0, yeah, with the Liberty, yeah.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40. We'll give you the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening coming up next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To the nation. Welcome back, nation. We're having fun watching the College World Series, Arkansas against Murray State. This guy, Gage Wood, is having the day of his life as he's got a no-hitter going. He's a bottom of the eighth, two out, throwing heat, struck out 14 guys. Is the only folly is, oh my goodness. Oh, hello, Uncle Charlie.
K's now.
Yes, sir. That was a hell of a pitch. And now that's 16 strikeouts through eight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much C4 do you think's run through his veins right now?
Dude, I think he's dry scooping between pitches.
Yeah, he's fired up.
My
that
goodness.
Dude's not blinking.
His dad's got the, if you notice, his dad's got the plastic helmet like you get at helmet day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, all fans 14 and under get a free helmet. He's got one of those on today.
I bet it had the beer thing on it, too, but the wife made him take it off.
Yeah, it looks like he might have got the
Waterboy helmet.
The guy
just coming in, put that thing away.
Yeah, but it might look like the kind you get the ice cream in, the soft serve ice cream. Could kind be. Of big, oh, nice. The big ice cream.
But that'd be a big one. That's the full size.
Oh, you need one. That's what you need.
Full gallon.
Yeah.
Okay, segments the scene. We'll keep you updated on this. It is pretty cool sports TV because you can see the adrenaline just coursing through his veins at an epic level. Like if you didn't know and you just saw a video of this guy on TV right now, you'd think someone had just shot him up with liquid adrenaline.
I need him to fall apart in the bottom of the ninth, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean,
you're a Murray State fan?
Well, I want to see Arkansas out of this thing. I think Arkansas is one of the better teams in the. You know, I'm just trying to, you know me. I'm trying to get the path of least resistance for LSU.
I hear you.
To deal with, you know, and not that Murray is any bad team or anything like that, but Arkansas is. You know, their number one pitcher was just bad the other day against LSU, but ever since then they have gotten outstanding bullpen, and then. Today with this guy, with him going, I mean, he coming out of the loser's bracket, the one thing you worry about is always using up all your pitching. And here's Arkansas potentially not having to use any extra pitchers.
Today. It's impressive. So he'll go for the no-hitter here coming up in the bottom of the ninth. They are leading 3-0. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Okay, the C-note, every day at this time, we look at the Cowboys headlines and Twitter activity. A Bleacher Report says Dak's contract is the second worst in the league. Do you agree? You know, they're looking at the guarantees on the contract and the injuries and his cap hit compared to the best players at the quarterback position. It's $5 million more than the second spot. And, you know, they say his value is second worst behind only Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I'll be honest, I think it's true, but it's definitely not something you can criticize Dak about. I think this is on the front office. But beyond that, I think this is, you can overcome it. Like, is it a little bit unnecessary? Yes. But it shouldn't stop you from trying to accomplish all your goals. It's, you know, an extra $5 to $10 million that maybe a better negotiating team would have avoided.
Yeah.
It's a player, you know, or two.
Well, I mean, you can't blame the player. I mean,
he
went and asked for this, and his agent was able to negotiate that. I mean, I think the first thing you said was this one's clearly on the front office.
Yeah.
But can you work around it? I mean, now it's, I don't know. It seems like it's only kind of getting worse for the Cowboys. It seems like that every contract that they have now is almost a max deal. you know, or near the top for that position.
This is the second one since Zeke, or maybe it's the third, that has been so much more than any other team did for the position, and yeah. It stayed that way with Zeke's for like 4 years. You know, it's about to stay this way with Dax for a second year.
We always
in a
talk
row.
About, you know, the our little catchphrases in radio when we go, well, in 2 years, that contract will be obsolete. Kind of, you know, that thing will be, no, you don't have to worry about it. This is one that might hang around a while.
Yes.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Nuts. I haven't heard that nice little catchphrase everybody likes to throw out there.
No.
You're like, yeah. Well, just wait. The contract will get passed here. Eh, like some quarterbacks that are clearly better than Dak are taking less money.
That's what's the interesting part, too. It's not just, it's the next guy, so here we go. Like, oh, they're not going to give Tua that much money or whatever. This is Josh Allen. This is Joe Burrow. These are guys that are clearly better. And they're Lamar still Jackson. Not getting that.
Yeah. And Dak's ranked somewhere between like 8th and 17th if you look on these quarterback rankings, you know, and he's making the absolute most. I think there's something to it. I'm surprised because I did see some bloggers and some social mediaers out there saying, oh, this is BS. That's hating on Dak.
What's BS?
That it's the second worst contract in football.
Oh, I see.
Well, it is. It's looking like a bad contract. And again, that's not Dak's fault. Go ahead and get your money. And at the time, I think we were all thinking like, all right, this is what it is. This is the price of doing business to get your franchise quarterback. Dak's going to get 60, but then Burrow's going to get 62. Josh Allen will come in a few years later. He's going to get 65. The problem is nobody else has come close to 60. It's like 55 is what Josh Allen just got. So now the contract is aging horribly. The $40 million one he signed, it worked like that. Sure. He was the highest paid, and then at the end of it, he's like 10th or 12th.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. There
but
was
this
always,
one's not going
there was that,
that
nice little catchphrase we use on the radio, like, oh, just wait a little bit. You know, it'll pass. It'll be fine. And in 3 years, we'll all be happy that he signed this. And you're like, well, I just don't get the feeling. That one.
I don't understand the argument against it being one of the worst contracts in the league. He's the highest paid player, and he just got injured. He played 7 games.
Yeah, you know, I think there's ways to justify it and be in support of Dak. Like, hey, you could still win if you build a good enough team around him. He's way better than Watson. He's better than Tua. He's better than any of the quarterbacks on this list. And I think if you approach it from that perspective, like, I don't want to say it is a bad contract because I feel like you're still getting winning football out of him. Runner-up MVP in 2023. So, like, I mean, there's a lot of contracts out there on players who aren't going to help you win, and Dak is going to help you win. But I think the way that it was structured with all of the guarantees, now his injury situation, and how he played in 2024 is a big component here as well. If that's Dak, then it is a horrible contract. Mm-hmm. You know, if Dak is 2023, then it's a 10% overpay and something you can manage because he's your guy. I guess that's the way I'd look at it.
Sure.
Yeah, and even then, you're hoping that, 2023, we always talk about they beat up bad teams.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the MO of this entire era of any time they've had really awesome seasons. You can look at it and break it down. It's like, yeah, they beat up on what was a terrible NFC East division, and anytime they played playoff teams, they would, for the most part, get hammered pretty hard.
They got 2 wins that year against playoff teams. I think it was the Rams at home, as the Rams were barely a playoff team, and the Eagles at home, which you usually split with.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe the Detroit game, that was a crazy
Detroit, ending. Yeah. Seattle, I mean, Seattle was like a half game out. They were a decent football team, but yeah.
But this year, you have a pretty difficult schedule.
Yeah, you do. You have a very difficult schedule this year. You're going to have to really, really earn it and maybe hope your division isn't as tough as it might be on paper. Let me add to this. You know, I think we need Shoddy or somebody new to effectively teach the Cowboys how to be a championship front office because I think like they're stuck in their ways and the light bulbs isn't coming on like this should be fixed. Like this article coming out should be embarrassing, right? And I don't know if anybody up there at the Star is making that push to get in front of the Jones boys with, holy crap, the way we negotiate contracts is, you know, costing us an opportunity here. This Dak thing is massive. You said it's a player. It could be a couple of players.
Yeah, I think the toothpaste is out of the tube. You know, you've got, as long as you have a high-profile player that plays for the Dallas Cowboys, there's no reason to be aggressive about doing this. There's just none, because you just wait them out. You know, just wait them out. And I think this is something that is unfortunate for them. I think this is now why you're starting to see the frustration in Stephen Jones, because they've had numerous contracts that have been negotiated, held out, then just caved on, you mm-hmm. know, and in order to get them done. And they won't get the benefit of a doubt of a deal anymore. They did on Osa, but everything else is pretty much top of the line, top of the dollar stuff that you're going to have to pay.
They won't drop their hammer, which is, I mean, they always say we want players that want to be Cowboys and are willing to take a little bit less to yeah. work with us. If they don't, those are the players that you trade or let go.
Right.
And then you're going to find out real quickly who wants to be here. But their refusal to like say, okay, I guess you don't want to be a Cowboy, bye. You know, other than players who are old or, you know, for whatever reason they have to move on from, but anybody they want to keep, they're not really negotiating. They're actually trying to negotiate like it's a family and hoping the other guy is just cool back to you.
Yeah.
But they're not being cool back enough. So you got to right. trade those guys.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the agents notice that and start playing the sucker you are.
This is why I guarantee you, this is why Stephen Jones does not want to answer any more questions, because he yeah. knows exactly where the corner he's been painted into. And a lot of it is self-inflicted.
Yeah, painted himself into that.
Do you think dad's making him keep star players for their name recognition, and he wants to let these guys go and play back, but it's dad's business model to...
The first one that they could have moved on from was Dak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you wonder when that all went down, you wonder who was involved with that one. You know, to me, I was starting to hear some whispers that they were going to move on from him, you know, but you just wonder who stepped in. I guarantee you somebody got to Jerry and told him like, hey, you know, man, you're talking about not paying Dak Prescott. What are you, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You remember in the early 2000s when you didn't have a quarterback? You crazy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody got to Jerry on that one, because that could have been the one that could have turned the tide in a way of how they do business differently.
Elsewhere here in the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening, where every day we look at headlines and tweets going viral. Miles Garrett's come out in support of Micah Parsons and his holdout. When you see someone like Micah who works as hard as he does, it's clear he deserves every bit of what he's asking for. Were you laughing at the idea of Micah working hard, Brian?
Oh, I think that Micah works hard on his own. I think there's some things that he does. I don't think he's necessarily interested in being around here working really hard. You know, I think he's got people. I think Micah likes to travel around and see people and work out with people. He likes to, you know, like, hey, what are you doing down in Jacksonville? Okay, man, I'll see you down there tomorrow. Work out for a couple of days. Hey, what are you doing? I'm out here in Arizona. Okay, I'll see you in a couple of days. I don't think he wants to be just tied to one program and it just, you know, and the regimen of that, of having to go through and do the same things. I think Micah likes to travel around and see what other people are doing. And that way, maybe he's not under the eye of the strength coaches for the Cowboys. You know, he can kind of do what he feels like he needs to do without having that scrutiny. Like, Michael, you need to, like, the squat rack. You know, you need to get in there a couple of times and do that. You know, no, I don't need to. I'm just going to go to Tokyo and sumo wrestle a guy and do that. You know?
Pick and choose what I'm doing.
The Cowboys, do content while I'm working out. The Cowboys haven't had a great reputation in those NFLPA surveys, and that has been about not having enough staff. Mm-hmm. Maybe they feel like there are programs outside of this building that I'd love the Cowboys to do more of, and I got to go elsewhere to get them. I would just say, if you want to be a team leader, go do those, but then, you know, also be here and respectfully decline, you know, any training or any therapies that you don't want. But I mean, like, being there and being present is what, you know, this team needs more than any other season. Blogging the Boys just did a series, Why They Will and Why They Won't Win the East. And the first thing is coaching turnover. You need to be there learning how to run the plays, and for your teammates to know when and where you're going to arrive. You need to get all those angles and your footwork lined up perfectly, and give your teammates a chance with you, the catalyst that's going to make everything different, to get their reps and timing down with you there. And yeah. you took that away from your team. So, and I would say Jerry Jones is taking that away from the team
yes.
with his BS negotiating tactics.
Totally agree. They don't seem to put much stock into their superstar players being there during the springtime. They chalk it up like it's like, this is just for the rookies. This is just for the young guys. Really doesn't matter.
CD said it himself. It hurt. It was a problem last year. It hurt him. I mean, there's no way to replicate being there with your teammates. And now it's tough because, I mean, I
CD was smart. He knew the best way to get his money was to hold out.
Right. Well, so yeah. Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Either Mike is just too much of a competitor and he says, screw this, I'm still going to go. Or if you're David Mulligetta, it's like I was saying on Friday, I got no reason to pick up the phone and call you guys for everything you just articulated.
I do not feel like that Micah Parsons wants to be fined $50,000 a day while we're standing there watching practice in Oxnard. I think he will stand there and watch every single practice like he has been. But I think Micah Parsons likes money enough that he is not going to let them. He's not going to let them fine him $50,000 a day.
Great stuff. It is the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys news of the evening every afternoon at 3:20. Then we go to Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, is your team one of the overlooked teams heading into the 2025 season?
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We'll do that next.
There he is. Lucius Alexander has the G-Bag today coming up at 5:30. LA Live every night, 5:40. Dude did it. Gage Wood threw the no-hitter for Arkansas. 19 strikeouts, 119 pitches. They beat Murray State in an elimination game. And he's live, dude. That guy is he's very sports center friendly. If he can make it to the big leagues,
he can't stay still right now.
He almost kissed his opponent when he dapped him up.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, he's like, ooh, got a little too close to him. I'm excited, brother.
Yes, yeah. It's always so awkward, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, and the guy celebrating the biggest moment of his life coming around your dugout. It's like, dude, just go over there and enjoy your moment. I don't want to dap you up or hug you or anything right now. If I wanted to do that, you know, you could have done that with me about 3 minutes ago when you were celebrating your balls off. So it's always so weird.
He's about to go hit some heavy back squats after this. Doesn't he just get that vibe?
Like, he's not done yet.
That was just his warm up for his big time leg day workout.
So this dude throws the third no hitter in College World Series history.
Yeah,
19 punch outs.
Arkansas.
How many
record.
Pitches? 119?
Yeah.
It's obviously they just don't care about these kids, right? They just
they
care about titles.
The SEC.
You think you were going to take Wood off the bump? They would have had to. It would have taken every person in that ballpark to yank him off.
He is not coming off.
The same thing with
Guy had the eye of the tiger starting in the sixth inning.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't leaving.
I'll tell you what, though. I think Murray got worked in this top of the ninth, though. He did hit a batter. Like they're saying that the batter did not try and avoid the ball and hit him on the left elbow, and it was an inside pitch, and they went to the replay and they said batter's out for not trying to.
I don't like that. Get out of the way.
Yeah. Well, he hit a guy in the eighth too. That would ruin the perfect game. So two hit batters, or else, man, this would have been a perfect game, 19 Ks.
They were trying to manufacture some runs. What a unit, though. Best of luck to him. Can't wait to hear what's next as they'll go on and probably face LSU before too long, Brian.
Yeah, LSU and UCLA are in a winner's bracket game tonight. And so, like, the loser of this game would then play Arkansas again. And then so I
and
think
the winner then goes in?
The winner gets rest. Okay. So tonight is a – Well, LSU's every national championship that LSU's won in baseball, they've won the first game. So that's a good sign. I was really worried. Arkansas has been a really good team all year in the SEC. And this game right here with this, and not just the no hitter, but this right here might have saved Arkansas's season in this way. Arkansas didn't have to use any pitchers. That's the biggest thing in this coming out of the loser's bracket. You get to the point where you have to, play a lot more games and using your pitchers and that kind of stuff. This young man right here might have saved Arkansas' season.
First no hitter in the College World Series since 1960.
Holy cow!
That's the last time it's actually happened.
Wow.
He's projected to be a first round pick.
Okay.
Do you have the game? Who threw it in 1960? You have that?
No, but I can pull it up.
Okay, go ahead.
It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you, Dawson. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And thank you to Reliant as well. I missed you guys the last couple of days out there, by the way.
We missed you, buddy.
At the ballpark, did you guys have a good time at the ballpark?
Yeah, we saw one of your high school buddies.
Yeah, Tim O'Shea, I heard. He might be listening right now.
Well, Timmy.
Tim O'Shea.
Big fan of the program.
He doesn't listen a bit, he said.
I could kind of tell. He didn't know who the hell we were.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I you know, this is funny when you start to talk about it. And you guys took a great picture. Matter of fact, he sent the picture to me, right? This guy I grew up with over in North Dallas, Tim O'Shea. He's probably listening. Maybe he's not, because he said he wouldn't. So he's probably not listening.
But maybe he is.
So we can just bleep talk him.
No, but anyway, Tim kind of gives it this. I'll try and make this quick. Tim kind of gives it the story of like, I ran into your friends. I'm like, oh, really? You were at the ballpark, huh? He goes, yeah. And he sent me the picture. And I go, that's my show. He goes, really? And I go, yeah, it's my show, man. We're like a top 2-3 show in the market. I mean, it's a pretty damn good show. He goes, I wouldn't know. I don't listen. And I said, well, maybe you should, you know? And he goes, let me be the judge of that. And I said, how's your family doing?
Let me be the judge of that. Tim O'Shea.
Tim O'Shea.
Sounds like a Gamecock, if you ask me.
He is Fighting Irish Notre Dame dude.
I think those boys might have been having some cold beers. You know, yeah. I think he might have got cold beer, too.
You know what? Like, you guys were nice enough to take a picture with him, right?
Yeah.
And he's acting like a tool, you know? I could say that because I've known this guy for 50-some-odd years, right?
Tool O'Shea.
Yeah, I mean, don't be that way, Tim.
Tim's being a bleep hole.
I was in the Charleston airport, like, discussing that. I'm like, what are you doing now,
bro? It seems like maybe from Tim's energy, you might have had a childhood rivalry a little bit. You ever mix it up with Tim?
He wanted to be a broadcaster.
Oh,
he wanted to be a broadcaster and he
failed.
And I got to do what he wants to do.
Krusty's Corner should be featuring Tim O'Shea, Timmy not O'Shea. Brian Broaddus. That's what it picture is. In the frame. Cat's out of the bag now.
I'm just telling you, though. I mean, hey,
if he's listening, he's hate listening.
Oh, well, obviously, I didn't think, you know, come on, man.
Did he have any talent? Tim O'Shea have any talent?
I'll tell you what, man, the guy, he talk about like to this day, still a Ranger fanatic. Cowboy fanatic, Notre Dame fanatic. His whole life has been like sports. Like I used to go over his house. We play electric football, paper football, dice baseball games, stuff like that. I mean, we played a lot of football in the side yard. He was a left-handed thrower and stuff. One time I threw a pass. He threw it too far. I hit my mom's car. Almost knocked himself out. I mean, he pops up and like, you know, like I'm like, you okay? And he's kind of stunned, but we kept playing.
He's still got that resentment for sure.
But it was a poor pass. I should have thrown it better. But he wanted to be a broadcaster and he gets mad at me about that. You know, he's one of those guys. And I hate that.
It's crazy because he was so complimentary of you.
No, he really was.
He was not complimentary of me. Not like he should be.
By the way, it was Jim Wixon of Oklahoma State who did it in 1960 against the Tar Heels of North Carolina. That's the last time we've seen a College World Series no-hitter.
Gotcha.
Maybe Jimmy.
All right, real quick here. We got about 5 minutes. Sorry, I went on that rant there for that.
We appreciated story time with Krusty.
Yeah, well,
Tales from North Dallas.
Just being honest, man. I mean, hey, you know, you grow up with people in life, and you know, you want the best for everybody. You know, you don't come at me like, oh, I don't listen. Let me be the judge of that. Okay, whatever.
You might want to listen.
You might learn something.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
He's probably out elephant walking with the old guys in the neighborhood right now, don't you think, Broaddus?
I'm just saying, man, don't be that guy. I mean, don't be that guy. Five overlooked teams heading into the 2025 season. Do I have a problem with how honest I am too much?
No, I love it. He was great, though. Tim was respectful. Tim was more respectful than apparently he was on the text because I enjoyed our interaction.
Yeah, well, don't tell me like, well, I don't listen and let me be a judge of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not, and then, you know, I'm like, maybe you want to give it a listen. You know, we do a pretty decent job around here.
What'd Tim end up doing?
I don't know what he does. I don't want
to. He's
go
just
there.
Bitching to be bitching. That's what Tim's doing.
You know what?
Big Rangers fanatic.
I told
fanatic,
him, I said, the last listening. Thing I said was, I hope your family's okay. And if you're going to go to lunch, let me know. I'll meet you for lunch. And we'll probably talk about your hatred for me right now. All right. Cincinnati Bengals. They're a team you need to kind of, they might be an overlooked team, Dawson.
Overlooked team? Their defense might be historically awful again.
This is Pro Football Focus, 5 overlooked teams heading into the 2025 season.
Pro Football not focused on the defense.
Okay. A little Tim O'Shea going on over there.
Well, we did. I mean, yesterday we talked on our Bet Nation show. I asked the crew, like, how many defenders can you name on the Bengals? And I think 3.
Yeah. Well, they're thinking that they might be one of them. The next team would be. Let me do the five. Indianapolis Colts are involved in this one.
Okay.
How about this one? San Francisco 49ers are involved in this one.
Easiest schedule in the league, the Niners.
Seattle Seahawks involved in this one.
That defense is going to be legit.
The roster's awesome. We'll see how Sam Darnold is.
I named four teams. You want to guess who the number five team is?
Dallas Cowboys.
Great. They're saying that Pro Football Focus is saying that after winning 12 games en route to a postseason appearance in the previous three seasons, the Cowboys saw everything go wrong in 2024. Dak Prescott recorded the worst Pro Football Focus passing grade of his career before the season curtailed due to an injury. The challenging campaign brought about changes for 2025. We've talked about promoting Brian Schottenheimer to head coach. By the way, you guys think that's going to work out all right for the Cowboys?
Yeah, it'll be fine. Fine.
I think the act will see
how this goes on Sundays, dude.
I think people will be less celebratory of his culture and more critical of him as time goes on and as losses pile up. But yeah, I think he's got a pretty good shot.
Yeah, they're saying despite the struggles of last season, Schottenheimer should still feel good about what he has to work with in 2025.
I'll tell you what, line one for me is going to be running the ball, and I think they got the personnel now, but will Dak be audibling out?
Well, here you go.
That's a question.
Here you go. First and foremost, the return of a healthy Prescott should result in the offensive success. His PFF passing grade plummeted to 67.2 in 2024, which ranked Prescott 28th among the qualified passers. He's demonstrated throughout his career that he's a better player than his 2024 tape showed. The primary issue for the Cowboys passing game is there wasn't a legitimate complementary receiving threat to CeeDee Lamb that may have solved this year with the acquisition of George Pickens. By the way, would you consider CeeDee Lamb a good go route runner?
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, he's certainly not to the level of George Pickens.
I don't think they really run him on a lot of goes.
That's what I was wondering.
Like, now that you asked that question, I can't think of a lot of goes that he
Pro
runs.
Pro Football Focus has Pickens and Lamb as two of the top three because you have a deal with the best route runners by the receivers.
Yeah, I saw they were doing that.
And Lamb and Pickens are two of the top three when it comes to the go route.
That's awesome.
I don't think a CD is a go route runner.
No, he does a lot of in-breaking routes.
Yeah. That's what if you said in routes, yeah. I would have been all over this.
But he's a go get the ball guy with great hands.
There you go.
So when he is down there, I think he catches more than
he's
average.
Quick. I mean, he's got good footwork off the line, so that would make sense.
Okay, and the final thing is the Dallas defense. We've talked about this, particularly its pass defense. There's also a credible threat to opposing offenses. Despite injuries across their front seven, the Cowboys ranked fourth in NFL in pass rush grade last season after Parsons returned from injury in week 10. There were just three teams along with the Eagles and Steelers to post at least an 80 PFF grade as pass rushers. For a full season for Parsons, addition second round, Donovan Ezeraku should provide a boost for the passers. Cornerbacks Deron Bland and Diggs could also bounce back for mediocre seasons. If so, the Cowboys could rank higher than the 19th in the PFF coverage grade that they were placed at last year.
There's a lot of potential in there. You're going to need young players to come along and the coaching staff to make more out of this than they have. I don't know. For Dak, if you're coming to the line of scrimmage and you're seeing a heavy box with Pickens and Lamb, how do you not check out of that? But, you know, 2019, 2023, we've had these seasons where there have been massive statistical accumulations from Dak in this offense, and it's 5,000 yards or it's 4,500 yards, and it looks like they're great, but I just feel like if you're going to do that, you better damn well know that if they stop us, we can run it. Right now, we're passing because we want explosives, but at some point, we're going to have to be able to run. And if they can do that, then I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to believe in this team. Okay, Cowboys and NFL Sounds of the Day coming up next. Thanks to Broadus and Krusty's Corner every afternoon at 3:40. Where are we going next, Wolchuk?
Yeah, let's hear what Flew had to say on the Doomsday Podcast and Cooper Kupp breaking down how defenses have evolved. That's next in the Nation.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 GO Men's T or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.